Ephesians chapter 2, 11 through 18. It says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this night, thankful for your word, thankful, Father, that we can have it and we can study it, we can sit under the preaching and teaching of it, and Father, we can meditate upon it. We're so thankful for the word of God that we have it, and in this nation we can have it freely. And in fact, talking to someone just the other night, we have multiple copies, and so we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight. We thank you for your word that we can hide it in our hearts, take it out and share it with others, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's the Holy Spirit who unifies the local church into one body. Here in Ephesians, Paul describes how both Jews and Gentiles were placed into the body of Christ by the blood of Christ and by the Spirit. Everyone, I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, we all come to Christ the same way. We all get saved the same way. There's still only one Savior. There's always been only one Savior. And we all have to come the same way. And it doesn't matter. And in the letters we heard tonight, people do believe that the Jewish people lost their opportunity. Aren't you glad we don't lose our opportunity? If we had lost an opportunity, how many would have got saved the first time they heard the message? I know I didn't. I know several people who didn't. Thank God for those who do, right? But not everybody's that way. And so can you imagine if we missed out because we heard it once and we don't get to hear it again? The Jews rejected Messiah, Jesus Christ, and so now they're done. It's not what God's word teaches. And so thank God we have people that believe that we all come to Jesus Christ the same way, whether it be Jew or Gentile. And then the Holy Spirit and the practice of the church. If we seek his power individually and corporately, the Holy Spirit stands ready to revive each local church. We have to do this if we want to see revival. I had some great revival meetings over, I don't know if you guys got to go last night or not, but I got to go Monday and Tuesday over there. And I'm telling you, they were great meetings. Good messages, great fellowship, good singing, all that going on. But the only way we're going to have revival, the only way those folks over there are going to have revival, is if we want it and that we get on board and we seek his power individually as well as corporately. And if we don't do that, we're not going to have revival. So the Spirit will convict and warn us of our need for repentance and revival. You turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 1. The Bible records for us, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." It's interesting how it's true. We're already seeing a falling away from the truth. We're already seeing people who will give up what they've known their whole life to be true and say, eh, I'm not so sure I believe it anymore. Why? Because their faith isn't grounded. They're not grounded in anything. They're just out there swaying with every wind of doctrine, being blown here and there and everywhere, and they fall away. People say, the falling away is people not getting saved. No, the falling away is God's people leaving church. God's people leaving God. God's people no longer interested in the Word of God or praying to God or attending church services. There's a falling away of God's people. It's a sad commentary, but it's what's happening. And God told us it would. And then Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at several verses, but starting with verse 7. We're going to see a pattern here in these verses. And this is what we need to do. And he repeats it over and over and over, so it's something he definitely wants us to do. So starting in verse 7 of chapter 2 of Revelation, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Drop down to verse 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And then verse 17 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and a stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." And then verse 29 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And God wants us to be listening to the Holy Spirit and what He has to say. And then turn to chapter 3. You don't have to go very far this time. Chapter 3, verse 6 to start with. Says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Verse 13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And the last one, verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." So we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. We need to pay attention. We need to seek power and strength from the Holy Spirit if we're going to get revival, if we're going to have revival. Of course, went over that last Sunday. The steps to revival, what we need to do, God's laid it out very clearly. And then the Spirit will empower the worship of each local church. Look at Philippians. Oops. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Yeah, we should have zero confidence in our flesh. Our flesh will lead us astray. And then John 4:24, it's a very, very well-known verse. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." He thus longs to direct our hearts in music. First of all, Ephesians chapter 5, 18 and 19. Music is an area that Satan has used in a huge way to distract or turn away God's people from God. And so music is very important, and there is what I call music and then garbage. There's stuff out there that is not edifying to God. Just because you throw a few Christian words into a song does not make it spiritual. It just doesn't. And people think it does because, well, I heard the name of God. I heard the name of Jesus in there. It doesn't matter. I was talking to a guy down south when I was down there one of my trips, and he said, we go into the prisons and we take Bachman Turner Overdrive. Some of you won't know that name, but others will. We take their music, which is satanic, and we put biblical words to it, and we teach those songs to the inmates. Why? If it wasn't good in the original, it's not going to be good just because you threw in some Christian words along the way. And so we have to be sure that we're not being led astray by Satan's music. All right, so verses 18 and 19, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Lord is not going to be in that satanic beat and that satanic originality of the music, and just because you throw different words in it, it's still the same beat, it's still the same undertones there, especially with people who listen to that stuff all the time. You can put whatever words you want in there, they're going to think of the old ones. And then he thus longs to direct our hearts in praise, Hebrews 13:15. I was really hoping to get through this tonight. It doesn't look like I'm going to make it. 13:15. Says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We should be praising him all the time. He does so much for us, we should praise him all the time. And then in our prayers, the Bible says to pray without ceasing, right? We should be in a constant place where prayer is just always there. And we're praying in his will, not our own. Then the exercise of the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Obviously, you go through getting saved, you get baptized, and then you partake of the Lord's Supper with the rest of the church family. And then service, Hebrews 13:16. Says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Then we'll look at giving in Philippians 4:18, and we'll stop here because we're running out of time. Philippians 4:18. Says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We should always be thrilled and be well-pleasing to God. Then we can be a blessing to others. And so we're going to end there for tonight.